James chapter 3. Rubber meets the road. I hope the rubber is meeting the road in your life. I hope that there is traction of the Holy Spirit in your life, that you are seeing transformation in you and through you. The Lord is doing a mighty work around you, and you are seeing a harvest of goodness in your life. Amen. Does that sound good? Anybody want to see that? A harvest of goodness in your life? Yes. Man, a harvest. That's just a big, big, big thing. James chapter 3, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you need a minute, say, I'm hurrying. That's good. That's good. All righty. We're going to be talking about the tongue today. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy, and selfish ambition, that's a problem, folks. He says, if you got that in your hearts, don't boast about it. And don't deny it. Where you have bitter envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Lord, we look today for a crop that would come from our lives, Lord. We all have something coming out. We are looking for a good crop, Lord, that would overflow from your goodness and overflow into the lives around us, Lord, that we would seek to, from that harvest, be givers rather than takers, Lord, that we would be generous rather than greedy, that you would come among us, Lord, and point out the envy, point out the selfish ambition, Lord, that we might grab onto it, Lord, that we might own it, confess it, repent of it, and turn away from it and be transformed in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you come and bring an anointing upon our time this morning. Lord, that there is a war that rages around us, Lord, and that we would win that war, that we would fight our battles, Lord, that you would empower us to move from victory to victory to victory, that we can relax in the harvest. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Rubber meets the road. Have you been there? We were at a conference the other day, many of us, and pastor was saying, don't trust anybody who hadn't hit the wall yet. Hasn't come to the end of himself. Hasn't come to the point in his life where he said, God, I can't get this done. And as you come through those trials, and that's why Peter and John and James tell us that we should celebrate those trials, that you come to that point in your life and you realize, oh, I can't get this done on my own. Lisa and I were ministering after we left the orphanage in Mexico in downtown Sacramento. And the church was located right across the street from Needle Park. You can imagine why I got that name. And it was a dark place. And the guy that the pastor of the church was saved at Folsom Prison. And if you're familiar at all with the prison system, that's like top security. That is where bad people go. And he got saved. He was himself a heroin addict for years and years and years. And love the Lord. So many of us, when we get saved from the trials of life that cause us to grab out or reach on to God, that we are indeed radically saved. Can I get a witness on that? Problem is, we come with a lot of baggage. We come loaded down, and we sometimes need help to get unloaded. And the Lord would provide that help. He would provide that help through the church. And he would provide that help to celebrate recovery and a lot of the stuff. Pastor Paul's class on footholds and fullness. All that stuff. We want to teach you a new path. Amen? We want to help you when you're at war. We want to help you through your battles. And working with... I don't even know if he's still alive. Bobby Novak is the guy's name. Incredibly challenging leader. A lot of insecurity, a lot of just challenging. The wife had MS, full-time caregiver, a lot of stuff. And there was an older pastor that I had met and... kind of a mentor to me, and I remember speaking with him one day, and I said, I feel like I'm on a train going 1,000 miles an hour, and I'm headed for a brick wall. Talking about my time in the church there. And he said, "Did God tell you to get on that train?" I said, "Oh, yeah." And he said, "Has God told you get off that train?" I said, "No, I didn't told to get off." He said, "Then you better stay on that train. That train, I don't care how fast it's going. I don't care where it's headed. If God has you on that train, that's the only safe place for you." Amen. Rubber hits the road. Challenges in life. Problems in life, where your battle becomes real. You'll want to be where God has placed you. Amen? Amen? James is a practical message. We all got problems. Amen? Amen? If you're where God has placed you, your resources to overcome those challenges and those problems and those battles are at hand. God calls us into a war against evil. A war often against ourselves, that darkness that is within us. And if you're going to win the war, you have to fight the battles. James tells us today we will see that we are indeed in a battle for our souls. Struggles. Every one of us in a battle for eternity. And here is a truth about battles. You can win. You can lose. And you can quit. Our big problem, we come into the battle, pretty messed up people. Loaded down with lives. Running on empty. Great news. God's plan for you includes fullness. Great news for you. God's plan is a plan of restoration. That he takes broken pieces and puts them back together again. I was watching Notre Dame football game last night, about 20 minutes of it. And they had an ad for the new MacGyver that's coming out. Now, I know nothing about the new show. Never really watched the old show very much. But MacGyver can fix anything. Amen? Get out of any trap. God can fix anything. Amen. You are not too far gone for God. And that is why it's an incredible blessing today to come to serve you as we come together as a team, that you would indeed be prepared, filled, and prepared to give back to the plan of the Lord. Amen. Many of you are on that path to fullness. And you come in here today. You're going, woo-hoo, good week. Oh, man, I'm getting a little fat. So filled with the fullness of God. And that is in direct contrast to the emaciated, dying, sickly life that we came from before. Can you witness on that? God is good. God has a plan. Interestingly enough, what we're going to talk about from James today is in such contrast to the plan of God, that plan of fullness, the plan that Christ has provided to you by his death on the cross, James says that what God would give you freely, there are people that would come among you and try to steal. It makes no sense. It's the free gift. And there's some of us who come so polluted, so empty, so famished, that we can't take the free gift. We got to try and take what we can get. And James says, don't be that guy. Amen? Amen. You're in a battle. You're going to... Don't make your battle the battle against God for God's goodness and fullness for you. Don't make him your opponent. Don't lie to God. Don't rip God off. Let him be your benefactor. He says it is the humble part, the submissive heart that lays itself out to the Lord, that the Lord says, oh, my child. Jesus says, ask anything of my name. You already got it. I know what you need before you even are asked. Only a fool comes and tries and steals from an open hand. We're all in a war. Jesus has delivered us to victory, calls us into battles that we can win. Message titled today is A Struggle for the Soul. We okay? Yeah? Hope you're not asleep. All right, here we go. Let you know today, Sandra, I know you're not sleeping. All right. God has a place for you. God called me out of darkness into light. He's got a place for me in the light. Every one of you here is here. Some of you are here for barbecue. God has called you here. God has called you to be part of a supernatural event in you and through you. God has called you to be part of something so big, so dynamic, that something that you cannot accomplish on your own, I can't accomplish on my own, that we can begin to accomplish it as we come together, grab onto one another in the battle, and win the war in City Heights. Amen? All right, so here we go. Not many of you should become teachers. And some of you are going, whoo! Sister Lisa been asking me to teach that class. Hey, I got a verse right here. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach, talking James, talking about himself, will be judged more strictly. There are those that come among us that are looking for recognition. There are those among us that would come to bend the plan of God for their own benefit. James is talking this word here for teachers is what we would call pastors or ministers, me. Problem in these churches that James is addressing, that there's all these people that are putting themselves forward for recognition. They were looking for what they could get rather than for what they can give. Amen. See, the Lord fills you up that you can be a source and a resource for Him. He doesn't fill you up to get fat. He fills you up that you might give what you receive. Amen? Amen. And as long as you're giving, you keep on receiving. Got too much? Give some away. God's got more. Amen? Amen? Incredible truth for you today. If you know Jesus, God has a place for you in His plan, and your challenge is to find it. Luke 17:2. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. I come back to this judgment. You read, don't be a teacher because you're going to be judged more strictly. And the word judge there is a neutral word. That God is really paying close attention to me and what I say. Working on this message Thursday morning, Friday morning, Saturday night, Friday night, this morning, going, God, what do you want me to say? I've heard pastors that have, I heard one pastor that has retired, and he said, you know, what I miss most is not preaching, but it's that time in my study, me and God. Whew. See, it says, you're going to be judged. Be genuine. Be humble. Be led and guided by God. I have a difficult time closing up the message because this morning there was a new stint, a new slant on the whole thing that came from God. And I said, man, I got to get my message done on Saturday night. But you see, I'm getting on Thursday afternoon is different. Friday morning is different. Saturday morning is different. Saturday night is different. Sunday morning is different. I'll tell you what, if I preach a second service day, it'd be different. Because the Holy Ghost has got a message for Nacho, for Adriana, for Lori, for each one here. I got to be sensitive to what He has for each of us. Amen? I got to move on. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. See, there's judgment and there is reward. Man, I am waiting for well done, good and faithful servant. Glory. That is a reward. I was in a fraternity. I was a bad guy when I went to college in my 20s. I was a bad guy. I'll tell you, I got saved when I was 29. Anyway, member of Kappa Sigma fraternity in Fresno, and they have a reunion named Dirty Dogs. I had one of my fraternity brothers that died out of alcohol poisoning, vomited, choked on his vomit, and died. Great, we're going to celebrate that guy's death. But they have it every year, and one of the guys responded, I'm not coming up there to go football game. I'm preaching, man. And one of the guys said, he said, can't come this year, Mike. I'm working on my retirement. I said, Mike, I can't come either. I'm working on my retirement. And he says, maybe you come next year. I said, no, man, next year I'm working on my retirement too. Every year I'm working on my retirement. Amen? Because that's the reward of serving the Lord, what comes last. Amen? And the good thing about the Lord's retirement, it lasts a long time. We've been there 10,000 years. It has only just begun. Are we good? Hurry up. Hurry up. I'm getting off track. Not only does God have a place for you, but He has uniquely gifted you to be part of a supernatural plan that will transform lives. He said, I'm too busy. Oh, okay. Plan of God's not important enough for you? And I got to go golfing. I got to do my laundry. I got to go, forgive me, to the Chargers game. I just want to let you know, my uncle, just 1 minute. Oh, it could be long today. My uncle is a Raiders fan, and he had season tickets to the Raiders. He wants to buy some tickets to the Raiders game on December 18th. Should he go, or should he come, I will go to that game, and I will let you know, I will be preaching on the 18th. We will not end service early, that there is plenty of time to catch a ride right up there and get over there, like the hospital over there, Tascadero Hospital, something like that up there. Just catch a little metro right down to the game. If you got any game to go to, you should come right up here during our prayer time. Say, Lord, see me in church. I'm going to the game today. Use a blessing. What do you got that's more important than the plan of God, than the supernatural work of God in your life, in your children's life? I'll tell you what, there's a bunch of youth downstairs. We had 7 new youth on Wednesday night. There's an anointing that needs to happen in Pastor Scott in that class to reach those kids with a message of hope, a life-transforming message of hope. I'm too busy, I got to do my laundry. What do you got in your life that's more important than being used in a supernatural way in the plan of God? I've got to let you know there's nothing. Working for the Lord is the pinnacle of your fullness, of your growth, of your challenges, of your victory. Oh, don't give it up, folks. You're so lucky. I am here to prepare you for that victory.
Thank you.
And that's my job. Every person on staff is here to serve you, to prepare you to do the work that God has prepared you to do. Problem is, you guys skip out on that work, and we got to do all that work, and we don't have enough time then to prepare you to get it done. Find out where God has you. You're uniquely gifted. We'll give you a gift test. You can find that out. Most of you, I can see what your gift is. I'm not supernatural. You just say, those are good. Get on board. Get in the war and win the battles. Amen? Whew, that was long. That was long. All right, here we go. Are we going? We're not going. Uh-oh. Here we go. All right. Whew, we're going. Life can trip you up. Found that to be true?
Yes.
Anybody get tripped up this week? Oh, yeah. Life just kind of, like, devil just reach a hand out and just trip you right like that. We all stumble. If you're part of we all, put your hand up. Yeah, I don't know if there's anybody that evades we all. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect. And that's not me. Able to keep their whole body in check. I want to let you know that when you are tripped up, you can't answer the call of God. You're just trying to wipe the blood off your face and start standing. Stumble. Okay, we all stumble. The trick is stumble, but don't fall. The trick is to get some assistance, because I'll tell you what, we all stumble in many ways. And there's stumblers, there's Roki, man, he's a professional stumbler. I'm a professional stumbler. We know how to stumble. We have seen the tricks of the enemy, and we have come up with techniques to avoid the trip hazards. Amen?
Amen.
We have come up with ways on how to bandage up our knees, bandage up our elbows so that we're not bleeding all over the place, and God can still do a work in us. Amen?
Amen.
We're all going to stumble. Don't fall. We're all in a war. You know, win battles. You got to fight. You're fighting battles. You're going to become bloody. We come to the Lord all tore up, emaciated, hungry, full of lack. God's plan is a plan of restoration. Roki was one ugly man. He looked good on the outside, but his soul was ugly 10 years ago. God is doing a beautification project in that man. God is doing a beautification project in many of you. He don't care what you look like when you get here. He says, I'll fix you up.
Amen.
It's easy to stumble. It's easy to trip. And that's why James says, consider it pure joy when you face trials. Because your trials will trip you up. And you'll get used to standing up. You'll get used to continuing on. He calls it perseverance. You get used to not quitting. You might lose some battles. But when you quit, you're done. You can come back and win after you lose. It's hard to get back in the game when you quit. Can I get a witness on that? You know, this morning I was working on this message as I did Thursday morning, Friday morning, Saturday night. Gail, you'll love this. 6 o'clock, I began to get a migraine. And my migraine, how many people get migraines? Hands up high. I get migraines, I get them in my eyes. And I can't read. And so I'm working on this new message that the Lord has given me. Glory, glory. I can't read the page. Literally. I mean, where I'm going to write, it's just like a big fuzzball. Whoa, what am I writing here? I could have quit. Pastor Paul, can you preach? I think there's been one day in 20 or 18 years that I have not preached because I've been sick. I said, Lord,
I got to bring this message that you are birthing in my heart this morning. Lord, I need you to heal my mind. I need you to heal my eyes so that I can see, Lord, I want to be your man. I want to win this war. I want to fight this battle. I need your help this morning. And I can see crystal clear right now. And I tell you what, we'll walk in this building, man. Everything was messed up. I had to fix it all, do all this stuff. Man. Came to the Lord, I was loaded with bad habits. Had no room for God. I was full. I was full of bad stuff. And the Lord is there going, here I am. And I'm going, okay, Lord, I want you. Let's see. Lord, how do I get you in my life? I'm loaded down with me. I don't have any room for God. I got room to lose. But for me to win with God, I got to make room in my life for victory. Amen? We all face battles. We all have challenges. So many of our challenges are because we're full of life. Came to the Lord, I was so full. Man, it was a year. It was a year from when I quit drinking to when I turned my life over to the Lord. I was trying to read the word. I couldn't get it in my head. I had too much of me. I couldn't get him in. He's called us into a war. To win the war, you got to fight the battles. Amen. What's your battle today? What do you got that's in the way of the Lord? What do you got that keeps you from Him? We okay? I'm a little low, long. I'm going to try and speed this up. Our tongues are a display of our struggle. Some of you are thinking right now, man, I was funny. Could have just stopped with that whole teacher thing. Let me off the hook. Now you're thinking, boy, I had a rough week with what came out of my mouth. See, it's easy to get tangled up by your tongue. Amen? When we put bits in them, James gives us all these pictures right here. We put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us. We can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large, they are driven by strong winds. They are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil. Among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it itself is set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Pictures. A bit in a horse's mouth. I hate riding horses. Worked cows for my uncle when I was a kid. A spark. We see forest fires around here, sometimes lit by idiots, sometimes by lightning strikes. Doesn't take much. Homes are being destroyed. And then he says, a rudder, a ship. There's three little rudders on that picture right there by the propellers. And that is a significantly sized boat there. And every boat has a rudder. Back in the day, they would have a tiller that the the captain would guide the ship by. You got wind, you got guys rowing, you got all this stuff. And just this little tiny rudder would set the course of the ship. James says, your tongue will set your direction, and it is an object of evil. It is a battle to fight and a battle to win. Jesus says that your tongue indeed is a display of your soul. And our self, made up of three parts, body, soul, and spirit. And you'll see that soul section is divided into three parts, your mind, your emotion, and your will. Your soul is where you live. Your body does what your soul decides. Are you following me on that? If you are punching your neighbor, it is an act of your soul. If you are cursing your neighbor, it is an act of your soul. Jesus says, what comes out of a man, that's what makes him unclean. That's what shows the evil intent of his soul. So what'd you see coming out of you this week? What'd you hear coming out of those wonderful lips of yours? What's inside you? So we start off with the Lord, and everything inside looked like Roki and me. It's ugly in there. I have to get it out. I have to clean it up. And in your cleaning process, you have two primary obstacles. Number one is your evil soul really likes evil. And you got to battle your body, battle your mind all along the way. And the other thing is the devil. The devil is against you. And we're going to talk a little bit about spiritual attack coming up. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father. With it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. You cannot be both good and bad. You're fighting a battle. You're in a war. You're going to move ahead or you're going to move back. James presents the two sides of the tongue, the two sides of our soul. We come to the Lord a natural man, darkness and evil reigning in our lives. We are bound to sin. We are steeped in sin. And Jesus Christ came, died on a cross to set you free. That you can ask Jesus to come into your life. Did you say, God, I'm so messed up. Can I get a witness on it? I am so messed up, God. I need a rescue. I think I'm as bad as Roki and Pastor Bob. Help me, Lord. When that happens, your sins are paid for by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Amen? Amen. And there is a physiological change that happens in you where the Holy Spirit comes to reside in you. And in this picture, it shows the arrow of God coming to your spirit, which is now alive. Amen. And the battle of our soul is at the mind, the emotion, and the wills, which are still dark, need to be transformed, need to be cleansed. Our bodies, which are bent toward evil, and we can grow from the inside out to become an object that the Lord can use in a supernatural way. Amen. To do supernatural things. You are supercharged by the Spirit of God, and the first battles that you must fight and the first battles that you must win are against yourself. So that you no longer stumble and fall and trip, but are able to be used by our Lord in His plan. Amen? Surrender your life to the Lord, you become a new creation. Where you were dead in your sins, you are now alive in Christ. Your spirit is strengthened by the Holy Spirit and able to do all kinds of things. You can exert control over your soul, find victory. You can, amazingly enough, exert control over your tongue. Your actions in your life are a display of your battle. Why James and Peter and Paul say, hey, consider it pure joy. Face trials of many kinds. You got opportunities for victory. Amen? I'll tell you, if you're coming off a loss, spin around, keep going. Victory is right around the corner. Amen? Just don't quit. When you quit, you got nothing in front of you. Don't be a quitter. Let the Lord guide and direct you. It is in your trials that you get a clear picture of your soul. Sometimes we got battles we don't even know they're there. I ran into a battle this week on our website. We got four now. Chag.church is a new one. I'm working that out. But for years we've had cityheightsassembly.com, cityheightsassembly.org, and cityheightsassembly.net. And I was dealing with the Chag.church, and I went to the cityheightsassembly.net, and I'm going, what is this? And I had loaded this app called WinWord years ago, you know, thinking I'm going to do this great thing. I think I was going to try and do like an app to go on the phones or something. I don't know what I did. But I couldn't figure it out, and I moved on to a different battle. And I get an email. You have been hacked. And what had happened is this, it was an old version. It was a current version. It's an old version now. It was it was susceptible to being hacked. There was a weakness in it. Anybody know what the phrase is for that? Anyway, it was hackable. And it's the same as susceptible or maybe open. Backdoor type thing. So anyway, they hacked it and they put malware on cityheightsassembly.net. What a bummer. And so how do I fix this, guys? And it came out of nowhere. And that's what happens. Out of nowhere comes an attack, a threat that you didn't even realize was there. It can be a weakness from something that you did years ago that you don't even remember. And the devil is right there. Ho, ho, ho. Gotcha. We are called into a war. To win the war, we must fight the battles. Amen? All right. I'm moving quick. Actually, I'm not moving all that quick. I'm going to start moving quicker. Here we go. Opportunities for heaven. We're going to read James 3, 13 through 16, which is what we read before. Wisdom is displayed. Heavenly wisdom is displayed in our choices. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it. Don't deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Demonic. If you get your Bible open, underline that word. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Oh my. This is where these teachers were coming from. I'll pastor this church. There's some, folks, there's some bad pastors out there looking to get paid, looking for relations with women, looking for all kinds of bad stuff. Their motivation is selfish ambition and envy. God's not happy with them. When you got that, it's worldly, it's evil, and it's demonic. Envy and selfish ambition opens your soul to the devil. Cause you to lose your battle. Like Windward. It was there. It was susceptible to attack. And some hacker came along. Hacked us. Some of you know, I work on my cars. It is often not out of choice, but out of need. One of my favorite tools is my ratchet. The 10 millimeter deep socket. And it enables me to reach a bolt that's not on the surface. Gets me to a bunch of more bolts than when I can just get up here. But there are times when it's not long enough. And then I get my trusty extension. And it's a rocker, so it's got like a little angle on it. So I can get all the way down here. Follow me? Now sometimes, like if I'm going to work on Aaron Bugs' congas up here, it's like, wow, not even close. Then I get my super duper extension. And I go, get all the way down in there where I can't get. You know what I'm talking about? But then there's times when, not even that is long enough. And I got to be able to reach all the way down in there to get to what I can get to. Tracking with me? Pull this out without having it fall apart on me. Reason I got this is because if you harbor envy and selfish ambition, it opens your soul so the devil can reach right down in there and force you into loss. He says, don't deny it. He says, don't boast about it. But when he says, don't deny it, it's because you got to get rid of it. I'll tell you what. I don't know why I'm picking on Roki today. But me and Roki, we were filled with envy and selfish ambition. Amen, Roki? Many of us come in here today and have incredible pasts of envy and selfish ambition. It's worldly, unspiritual, and demonic. And it opens you up to loss and defeat. Don't deny it. Get in here on Monday night. Tell some people about it. You know, when I was a new Christian, I used to confess everything I could think of to anybody I could find. My wife goes, yeah, he's a bit of a nut. And I was inappropriate at times. I really was. But I tell you what, the devil had nothing hanging over me because everybody around me knew everything that was going on inside my soul. Don't deny it. Get unloaded. Last thing. I'm probably just going to go like 5 minutes longer.
The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. This is a picture of heavenly wisdom. This is a picture of the tools, the giftings that the Lord would give you to move through battle and battle and battle and victory and victory and victory. He calls us into a war, and he calls us into a war that we can win. This is quite a list. Some of these I have, some of these I don't. We all stumble in many ways. My mercy meter is low. I'm not denying. My wife says, what are you going to do about it? I've been working on it for 20 years. It's just a slow grow effort in my life. But you can work on it. A lot of that stuff, I mean, I started off, I was lean on most of that list. You can work on it. You can find success. Amen. He kind of wraps it up with peacemakers. And he talks about a crop of righteousness. Put heavenly wisdom together. It's the opposite of envy and selfish ambition. You put that heavenly wisdom in your life. You put that humility. You put submission. You put that stuff together. You will get a harvest of righteousness. And harvesting is something that I know a little bit of because I come from a line of farmers. Dad was a farmer. My uncle's a farmer. Grandpa, great uncle, all that stuff. And this is a beautiful picture of a field of wheat that is ready to be harvested. It might not be wheat, some kind of grain. We never grew wheat, grew hay. But that's a beautiful picture, amen? And he says that you will have a harvest. Everybody gets a harvest, but sometimes the harvest is just not worth anything. I don't know why this is clicking, but here we go. Come on, show me that worthless thing. There we go. Stay. That was my life before I came to know Christ. That was Roki's life before he came to know Christ. That is most of our lives. Actually, you know, that's all of our lives before we came to know Christ. And he comes in and he transforms us so that we can be agents of change. Which one do you want? Which one do you have? And are you moving from one to the other? It is a blessing to serve you. It is a blessing to move you from lack to fullness. It is my job. It is our job. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you should be moving from the lower right to the upper left. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as you move from the lower right to the upper left, you should be grabbing some people and taking them on with you. Amen? Amen. My question for you this morning is, how's your field? What'd you see this week? What did you learn this week about the battle for your soul? You say, I'm not fighting. Well, then you quit. And you're not moving. There's some people who get halfway and think it's pretty good. Man, I used to be down there on the lower right. Whoa, what a lame life. But now I'm halfway. Good enough for me. I quit. Don't quit. How's your field? How's your soul? You can tell. At least you want to come up. You can tell by what comes out of your mouth. What came out of your mouth this week? You can tell by the choices that you make. What choices did you make this week? And you can tell if you quit. Because that devil is just reaching down into your soul. and bringing death and death and death. It's no good. Call to a war. You're going to win the war. You got to fight the battles. We come to the Lord loaded. Loaded down. I was loaded down. I had to make room for the Lord in my life. Many of you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's some stuff. There's some remnants from your past that are in the way of your progress, that are in the way of you winning your battles, in the way of your victory, in the way of winning the war. And as you come here this morning, the Lord is speaking to your heart. He has brought to your remembrance the actions of this week, the statements of this week, the choices of this week. And He is saying to some of you, well done, good and faithful servant, but let's work on this. And to some, He's saying, let's get a move on. But nobody's at the end. Not even Jean Bell is at the end. You are chosen to be a supernatural part of a miraculous work of God in your life, in your family, in your workplace, in this church, in this community. Amen? You're saying, oh, Pastor, what do I do? I'm loaded down with life right up here. Loading zone and unloading zone. Amen. And some of you just need to come. Drop off some stuff that's getting in between you and God. Amen? Lord, I come before you this morning, Lord. I shudder to think of the day that I will not be able to stand here and bring your message, Lord. It is such an incredible blessing, Lord. It is such an incredible, rich life to serve you. To serve this church, to work with those who would be transformed in their lives, who would grab on to the supernatural, who would unload from the natural, who would move from battle to battle to battle, finding victory after victory after victory, that we can indeed win the war. Lord, I thank you this morning that there are fights going on all over this sanctuary. That by your Spirit you encourage us, that you strengthen our spirits, that we can do battle in our souls, that we can find victory over our bodies, that we can move from battle to victory. Everybody has a battle to fight. Can't win the war if you don't fight the battle. If you're not in a battle, you've quit, and it's time to get going. It's time for the rubber to meet the road. You're here this morning. The Lord is speaking to your heart. My child, my child. Some of you are saying, good, fight. I've got something for you. I've got encouragement. I've got sustenance. I've got fullness. I've got training. I will equip you for the battle that you're in and for the battle that is coming. My child, well done. But there's more. And there's victory and there's fullness and there is supernatural power. Amen. To overcome. That's you this morning. I encourage you this morning. I speak praises to you. I speak blessings to you. I just plead with you. Continue on, faithful servant. Some of you, it's been a little while. There's been no movement. And he says, come on, child. I'm not done with you. It's looking pretty bleak. But he says, and this is for you, my specialty is bleak. Haven't met one yet that I can't work with. Haven't met one yet that I can't work on. Haven't met one yet that I can't rescue. from the clutches of hell if you will reach out to me. Oh, glory. You're here this morning and you haven't moved. If you're here this morning and this week has been a rough week, what has come out of you has been dark, what has come out of you has been evil, what has come out of you has not been pleasing to you, to those people around you, and much less pleasing to the Lord, He says, I am not done with you, child. Reach out to me. Let's drop some things off so that you got room for me. Nobody looking around this morning. That is you this morning. You're that one who has not moved. You have not moved, and He says it's time to move. Nobody looking around. We are all in prayer. I just want you to slide your hand and say, here I am, Lord. Don't be done with me this morning. Back here, somebody else would say, that's me. That's me right here. Somebody else would say, that's me here. Somebody else would say, that's me. Somebody else right here. Somebody else say, that's me. Yes, right here. Amen. I'm going to move on in about 20 seconds. If the Lord is speaking to your heart saying, you need to move, child, and you have not put your hand up, don't be the one who says no to God in this place this morning. God's speaking to your heart right now. You have not moved. He says, you need to move, child. Do not put your hand up. I just want you quickly to slide your hand up. I want to pray for you. Anybody else in this place right here? Back there, amen. Somebody else? Anybody else? Lord Jesus, I just pray by your